I don't think the sheriff is going to appreciate us playing Jailbreak as we introduce him.
Don't tell him.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. He's sensitive about that.
I bet he is.
All right, Sheriff Tom Dart from Cook County.
Used to be one of my favorite songs, along with Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff. I used to love him a lot. Now I changed the channel.
Not so much.
Yeah, not so good. Yeah. Yeah, my guess, because you know, Tom's sitting around, you know, on any given Friday night having dinner with the kids, and the next thing you know, his phone's ringing, the bat phone rings. Another one got out. All right, here's my question about this. Speaking of getting out, I guess this is the big issue, and this appears to be a bit of a political campaign is emerging around this notion of doing away with the cash bond system. That you guys have, cash bail system, that you guys have at county jail. Now, explain, first of all, what that is and why it would be a good idea to get rid of it, if not.
Oh, you know, and Ro, that's been, to be honest with you, half the problem is just trying to educate people on something that they really have no reason to really know the details of, that unfortunately is my life. But the reality is that you start with the notion that people routinely confuse prisons and jails. And so people think jails are an extension of prison. So you do something bad, you get arrested, you go to jail, and then prison, that's your sentence. Doing those two things is because you got convicted. The reality is, couldn't be further from the truth. The jail is just to hold people while they're waiting on their trial for the dangerous people. For dangerous people who are dangerous community, you're supposed to be held there. The rest of the people, you know, you go about your life while you're dealing with your case. Mm-hmm. Well, here and in most jurisdictions, they've said, okay, well, when you're brought in, let's set a dollar figure to give you an incentive or disincentive to not show up for court. And so we attach a dollar figure to you being allowed to go back home. And so we have, you know, a group of people who have no bond because they're dangerous. But then we have other ones that have a range of bail set from like $5 million down to $1,000 or $500 to get out. And what we have found over the years is that the heart of the purpose of the bail system was to make sure just bad people are in the jail. Instead, we find out that it's filled with people who are mentally ill, people who are charged with petty crimes, people who are homeless so they don't have the ability to know when their next court date might be up, and so they miss a court date, then they're being held here. But underlying it then is that you have this large group of people that there's no societal purpose for holding them here. It's not part of their sentence. They're waiting on their case. It's not supposed to be retribution. They haven't been convicted of anything yet. They're not here hearing one of my great, great programs on how not to be a retail thief anymore. They're just being held here because they're being held here. And so the notion that, you know, you have people who are committing the exact same offenses, but exact same backgrounds. They both have the same bond set, but this guy has access to money. The other guy doesn't. So the one guy gets out, the other guy doesn't get out. Well, that's only because one guy doesn't have any money. It's not because of the severity of the offense. And what we found out too, Ro, which was the most nauseating part of it, is that we have numerous cases. So not just one little anecdote, numerous ones where guys charged with like gun offenses, we're having judge set substantial bonds, you know, $100,000 bonds. So you need $10,000 to get out. Well, because they're a gangbanger, they're in the dope field, they came up with the money. And guess what? They come up with the money, then they go back out and they shoot more people. And I have many incidents where we'll have a retail thief guy who has a $1,000 bond set, meaning he needs to come up with $100, and he might as well be $1 million. He doesn't have any money. At the heart of it, and I'm just going to finish it off by saying what this proposal would say is like, listen, there's just a determination made. Either you're so serious, you're so dangerous, we hold you, or you're not, and in which case we either let you just go and you go back and forth to court for your court hearings, or we put a condition on it, like you have electronic monitoring or you have to go to drug treatment while your trial's waiting and stuff like that. But let's just not set dollar figures.
Sheriff, I covered a case a few years ago that really shocked me, and I'd love to know how common the other side of this is. He was held in the jail for 6 years, I want to say, awaiting a trial, and later was found not guilty. And it shocked me. I've covered crime and justice, you know, practically my whole career. And I thought, gosh, does that happen? I mean, how long are they held? What can this process be like?
Anna, we have right now people in my custody as of today who have been held 1 to 2 years. It's a little over 1,000. 2 to 5 years in my custody, just a hair under 1,000. Over 5 years, I have 88 people.
Oh, my God.
So that's as of right now. And
I want to go back to something here because when this comes up, and yesterday we were talking about this. This came up in the aftermath of the mayor's speech or his radio hometown voices tour, whatever that thing was called yesterday that he had. This issue of doing away with the bond, you know, the system, the cash bail system. And Kwame Raoul brought it up. And I thought, wow. And an alderman kind of backed him up on it. Mm-hmm. And generally when these kinds of issues come out into the public domain and start getting batted around by people, it becomes this issue of, well, just if you don't want to go to jail, don't do the bad thing that puts you there in the first place. Because the assumption is that if you're sitting, if you are their landlord, they have done something bad.
But if you're not tried, how is that possible? And we have a system of being tried, right, in this country.
Yeah, that's not, but I'm talking about perception. I mean, reality may be different, may not be different.
Yeah, but see, Ro, the one point that I've always made, you know, Anna, your point is one that I always try to bring up. But the other one that is just so compelling to me is like, listen, if we're not trying to reform this retail thief, okay, if we're not putting in some intensive program here, then, okay, what's our purpose? Okay, well, obviously there is none. He's just being held, waiting his trial. How much is that costing us? It's costing us at minimum, $150 a day, minimum. If he has a mental health issue, that's triple the cost.
Right.
And if they get involved with a fight, which here at the jail, you know, we have the same problems as the city. We have factions. So trying to keep people separated, it's always a bit of an issue. And so if they get in a fight, you know, it gets more expensive as well. So my point is because, just look on the financial side of it, because it's such an expensive proposition to house somebody, we better be darn sure that the people we're housing is for a good reason, that we're either keeping them, get the society safe because they're so dangerous, or we're housing them because we're making them a better person. And I don't know how you can get around either of those two scenarios. It's got to be one of those two. And when I sit there and say to myself, last I checked, I got a lot of, you know, crazy programs here, but I don't think I have the anti-retail theft program knocking it out of the park here. So why are we holding these guys?
Well, it's interesting. You think about the guy. You're talking about a guy who walk into a 7-Eleven and steal a sandwich or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the question becomes, if you put him on home monitoring, first of all, does he have a home to go to? Where do you monitor him at, and where's he going to get fed? I mean, it is almost as simple as a situation like that, because people who are doing that are not necessarily doing that because they're like, oh, I got to go steal something today. It's because they want to eat.
Yeah, and see, Ro, what I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, once again, I did the calculation, you know, the financial calculation, which my, you know, Mount Carmel Algebra 1 teacher, who I saw 2 years in a row, would be phenomenally impressed that I'm talking about numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the calculation, and we were saving ridiculous money by, when I had a guy just like that who didn't have a home, I've been renting beds for them, and I rent now about 150 to 200 beds a day, cost me a little over $3 million. So instead of this guy sitting in the jail, I'm doing it at a fraction of the price out there. They're feeding them. They're in a locked facility. They have electronic monitoring on the few that are not, and it saved us money in doing that. So my only point is that there's a million different ways to get at this different than just sort of the, you know, benign neglect of just dump them in the jail.
Right.
And so that's where there's a different scenario for each one, but I think ultimately you have to keep coming back to it. Jailing someone is really expensive. So that being the case, let's use it only for the dangerous people. And the other ones, let's put little bells and whistles on different people based on what the offense is, what their background is, what their history has shown up for court is. And in doing that, we can save money. And, Ro, I just, like I go, last week, I think it was, I was talking to a guy. He needed $50 to get out. And he told me that I believe him. He was telling me, listen, my boss has held on to my job for me, but if I'm here another week, I'm losing it. And I keep saying to myself, the guys that are losing their jobs, which there's plenty of them, they're so hard to get. And all the time, we're all sitting there preaching, these guys need to work, they need jobs. And here are people with jobs, but they're losing them. And you'd sit there and say, well, he should lose it because, you know, he shot somebody and, you know, he needs dangers, keep him away. I get that. But for the guy who's here for really a reason we're still scratching our head over, how is it helping anyone in the formula that he lost his job now, too?
Yeah. Can I drag you into something else that's happening right
sure.
now as we speak?
Please.
There is any opportunity.
Don't go willingly.
No, I know exactly.
Where's this going?
Would you like to be Secretary of State?
Defense?
Yeah, we have that's all available.
Mm-hmm.
I want to. I want to. That's good enough. By the way, that might qualify you. I want to ask you about the situation. We have a shutdown on the Eisenhower at Racine. There was apparently a shooting incident at the Eisenhower, either on or at the Eisenhower around Morgan. We have a doubling of the number of incidents year by year here of these kinds of highway shootings. I know that your guys are you guys are all over the county. The county sheriff's officers are and you're working in parts of the city as well. First of all, why is this happening with greater frequency here? Is this a new tactic?
Yeah, it is. And Leo Schmitz and I have been friends forever, and
he's the Illinois State
Head of the State Police, yeah. And he'd called me a year ago, I think it was, or so. And so we have cars out there on the highways now as well on certain nights and during certain programs that we're doing. So we continue to work with them on that as well. And in doing that, I sort of was made aware of just what you said, Ro. It's sort of I don't want to say a new phenomenon, but it's a sort of well thought out type of process by the criminals that they feel that their ability to get caught is minimized if they get out of the neighborhoods and they get on the expressway, because it's a different jurisdiction now that's following them. They have a better access to numerous ways to get off the highway and things like that. So, but it's not ending. It's not like they're escaping the violence. The guy that they just shot at is following them back onto the expressway, and the shooting continues along the way. So it is, as you said, it's like a new tactic, and it's happening more often because more of them are thinking about it. If this just was a flare-up where it happened during a month, and you'd say, okay, those anomalies occur. But as you said, the numbers are increasing, and you're seeing it more frequently, and it's because tactically, if you want to call it that, some of these folks who are shooting each other and the like are conducting it on the expressways because they think it is better for them, that they have a higher chance of getting away.
Wow. And just think about the motorists. And we've had motorists whose cars have been shot, or they get home and they find a bullet hole in the side of their car.
Oh,
and they're like, what happened? Because it's going so fast. You've got your windows rolled up. You got music playing or whatever. You're listening. Most importantly, you're listening to WGN.
Sure.
And you got to play that at full volume. And then people are getting hit. I mean, this is just, there's a lot of angst in the culture right now. But in Chicago, this is a serious situation that needs to be addressed, because we're now dealing with not just quality of life issues, but you're impacting, not you, but the problem here, the crime problem, is impacting the economics here. That story,
the livability.
The story, sure, in the Tribune today about, in the South Loop,
yeah,
and River
South
West
Loop,
and the Gold Coast and places like that, where, if people are getting murdered on the streets because they just, and these are people that have nothing to do with gangs. There's a guy going out for the Sunday coffee. Right.
And the other part of that formula, too, that ties into just what you're saying is, I guess there was a certain bit, if you want to call it comfort, that some people would have at times when most of these incidents, particularly now we're talking about the ones in expressways, were occurring at 3-4 in the morning and things like that. And then you said, bad things happen at those hours and, blah, blah, blah. These things are happening in the middle of the day.
Yes.
Every day. And I want to just make this point, because I know we've talked about this before, but every day, Violetta, by 4 o'clock, reports on a shooting incident that we are covering as a traffic issue.
It seems like that, yeah.
And it is I've counted it.
Really?
Every single day that we are on the air, there is a shooting incident somewhere on an expressway, south or west side, or somewhere in the city, northwest side, somewhere in the city where there is where police activity, we use that euphemism here, police activity and that's a shooting investigation. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's just a reflection of, frankly, how emboldened so many of these, gangbangers are. I mean, most of the stats, really, they don't lie. You can interpret a couple things different ways. Most of the shootings are between, gang members shooting another gang member, faction on faction on faction on faction, all that. Yeah, we understand that. But what happens, and as you said, Ro, it starts creeping into all sorts of areas that are normal days of life for people,
mm-hmm,
that no one has ever experienced in their lives. And that's the thing that is really shocking to so many people, no matter what neighborhood. Any neighborhood in the city of Chicago, as you just said now, what used to be crime that would occur in the middle of the night is now occurring in the middle of the day. It's occurring in front of schools. It's occurring all these different places. And it's a function of these gangs who have been so emboldened. Guns are so readily available, and there seems to be no repercussions. That's why when we're talking about this bond system, Ro, I mean, under this, you know, we can get at some of these guys with gun possession cases. Guess what? That means no bond. You can have, you can be a millionaire. You can have all the gangbanging friends in the world, and you can have all the dope money in the world, and it don't matter. You aren't getting out. And so I think things like this will go a long way to helping as well, because as I say, it's easy for me because I have my fights with the judges all the time. But, you know, a lot of these cases, the judges have set pretty substantial bonds, but these guys have access to money.
Excellent point. Sheriff, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Sheriff.
It.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
And if you'd like to be the Attorney General, let us know. I think we've got it. We can help you with that.
I never played one of those board games. I'll have to get back to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thanks, Sheriff Dart.
Violetta Potomatic, WGN Turf Trouble Spots.